stopped by by the intervention of the Arab and Islamic world. Now, I also would like to add that, as you can see behind me, most of Gaza is without electricity. There is a blackout behind me. Gaza's only power plant is still shut down. Large areas of Gaza without electricity. It's really cold winter time, and we expect more escalation as there are F-16 fighter jets above our heads from time to time. Also, unmanned drones are still hovering the skies. So, yes, Nargis, the worst is to come. Palestinian factions, they said they will retaliate. With all available means they have in their position. Now, people here are in a state of anticipation of what is going to happen in the next hours, and people actually expect an urgent intervention. They actually demand their fellow Arab Muslims to act actually and pressure Israel to end its attacks on Gaza and totally lift the Israeli suffocating siege which has actually imposed upon Gaza for the past 2 years.
And of course, now the Israeli Defense Minister Ehud Barak saying that now is the time for fighting and the Gaza operations to expand as necessary. You just said the worst is yet to come. How bad could this get?
Well, the situation is already dire and miserable, and it's getting worse. It will get from bad to worse. People here, they do not feel that they are living. I mean, they are dead. They are dying slowly while the international community watching what is happening in Gaza. Hundreds of these people actually are still in a state of shock. And in addition to these people still under the rubble, also would like to add that the images of these bodies thrown to pieces, can you imagine the schools, students, who actually women, old men, see these horrific pictures and these scenes while the whole world is saying nothing about it. So yes, I mean, we expect more escalation. It will be a bloody dark night. There are mobilization of tanks near the borderline, and Palestinian factions, they vow that they will retaliate and they will not give up.
And you speak there of the schools and women and children there that have been affected. We're going to leave it there, I'm being told. That's our correspondent, Yusuf Al-Halou. We'll speak to you again when we can. And that's the situation echoed by our correspondent, Ashraf Shannon, who's also in Gaza. He said that his children's school was just round the corner from one of the areas that were attacked. And of course, those attacks today have left now at least 195 people dead, according to Hamas officials. Just a warning that some of the images you may see on your screen may be graphic images of the injured and wounded. What you're seeing now is what Yusuf was talking about, the effects of not only the ongoing siege of Gaza that has been escalating 18 months now since Hamas was in rule, and this siege on Gaza for the last few months since November has been intensifying. Here on Press TV, we've been reporting the situation on Gaza, top of our agenda, speaking to the United Nations refugees in Palestine. They've been warning us for several weeks now that their food in Gaza has run out, that they can't provide aid for Gazans, and politically, that has also intensified, culminating in what we're seeing today. We're going to go for a short break here on Press TV now. Stay with us as we continue our coverage of today's attacks on Gaza.
Yes. Just behind me in the background, more and more tear gases are being shot. He was shot from it. The protest started peacefully.
Just to pick up on something you said, the shoes, no mention of those last week. I've been watching live images from Jalil.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Press TV. Well, those images you were seeing on that short break were live coverage images from last Friday when I was talking to Sari Al-Khalili, our correspondent in Nilin. That's in the West Bank. And he was gassed by Israeli soldiers who also shot at our cameraman. Press TV were the only reporters, media, journalists there at the scene bringing you the clashes from Nilin. But now what we're seeing today is further devastation, this time in Gaza. Israel has attacked the Gaza Strip days after a shaky six-month truce which Hamas says Israel violated has come to an end, and days after that truce has come to an end, we see that today 195 people at least have been killed in Palestine. One woman has been killed in Israel, and the attacks, according to Defence Minister Ehud Barak, will continue, will intensify. And there's been reaction from across the Arab world and the international community. The EU, the UN, Jordan, Lebanon, Saudi Arabia have all condemned, just to name a few, have condemned today's reactions. Lebanon in particular has been, and Hezbollah specifically, has been warning against the situation in Gaza for many weeks. We heard Hassan Nasrallah speaking just after the 21st anniversary of Hamas, talking of Arab unity and reaction and action towards the situation in Gaza. And today, again, Lebanese people have come out onto the street to protest the situation in Gaza. And for the latest on that, we're joined by our correspondent, Ali Risk. Ali.
Yes, concerning the protests, there have been protests in the main Lebanese refugee camps. Of course, most importantly, the Ain al-Helwi refugee camp in southern Lebanon, that witnessed a lot of protests. Concerning Hezbollah, there was also a sit-in staged by Hezbollah, which ended about 1 hour ago. Many people took part in that. We spoke to certain officials, of course, certain people actually on the streets, who called for the Arab, states, for the Arab rulers to take a certain stance against this. Now, the most important thing which everyone is now anticipating is a speech which is expected to be made, I repeat, expected to be made by Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah, the Secretary General of Hezbollah, tomorrow evening. Now, this was decided previously. It's a speech concerning Ashura, the commemoration of the martyrdom of Imam Hussein. But now I think this speech will be transformed to a speech about Gaza, to focus about what's going on in Gaza. So this speech, as I said, which is expected to be made, is going to be highly anticipated. We don't know what other steps will be taken. Previously, Hezbollah had called for steps, for protests to be taken against the siege. Now, with this actual war against Gaza, we don't know what will be called for. Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah might be calling for some more protests, might be making some more calls. So we have to wait and see what will happen, what's going to be in that anticipated speech.
Hassan Nasrallah, about a week or two ago, did hold a speech about Gaza just after the 21st anniversary of Hamas, and we spoke to you then of what he said about Arab unity. And today, after 195 people have been killed, we're hearing those calls for Arab unity again. Will they materialise, and how important is the issue of Arab unity for what is going on in Gaza right now?
How will they materialise? We have to wait for the meeting which is going to take place tomorrow. I believe there is an emergency meeting to be held for the Arab League tomorrow. How will they materialise? I don't think there will be much. I don't think there will be real Arab unity. Of course, the Arab people, the Arab public, are in general with the people of Gaza, stand side by side with the people of Gaza. The Arab rulers, on the other hand, we don't know. We did see today Egypt did reopen the Rafah border crossing, but is that enough? We heard that Hamas saying in the press conference that mere condemnation is not enough. So I don't believe that there will be real Arab unity, unfortunately, because of certain... I believe, actually, Arab unity, this is attached to the American administration. If the American administration does condemn this this act, then maybe Arabs will, because of the special relationship certain Arab countries do have, certain Arab rulers have with the American administration. But we did hear the American administration, what they said, they called for Hamas to stop the rockets if they wanted the campaign to end. So in light of this American position, I don't think you'll see any Arab official, I repeat, official positions from specific Arab countries which will materialize and put an end to this this siege. As you do know, this is attached very much to Israeli politics. There will be Israeli elections soon, and the Israeli political leaders are competing as to who can inflict more harm on Hamas. In this way, they'll become more popular leaders. So it's part of Israeli politics. In light of all this, I think that this campaign will probably continue for days to come.
You mentioned there the Israeli politics and the Israeli elections. Talk more to us about the timing of this. It's not just an important time in Israeli politics, but also American politics, and of course that shaky truce just ended as well.
Yes, certainly. I want to speak about the American politicians, actually. You know that President-elect Barack Obama has around 20 days to take office. Now, many Israeli officials, even Tzipi Livni, have expressed reservations against Obama, although Obama has previously made pro-Israeli comments. But in spite of this, there still seems to be Israeli fears of Obama coming to power for some reason or another. So before him taking power, I believe from now until 20 days, until January the 20th, you're going to see more and more escalation, specifically because the Israelis fear, as I said, for some reason, that if Obama comes to power, this won't be able to be done. They won't be able to do such acts in Gaza. Even though, as I said, Obama has made pro-Israeli remarks, they still fear his coming for certain reasons. Now, concerning Israeli politics, yes, as I said, the remarkable thing is that this campaign against Gaza comes directly after Tzipi Livni, the head of the Kadima party and one of the political people who will take part in the elections. This came directly after she arrived back from Egypt. So Tzipi Livni, I believe, has a big role to play. Tzipi Livni wants to raise her election chances via giving the green light, via playing the main role in this campaign, in the decision to go ahead with this campaign. So it's very much attached to Israeli politics. Yes, Benjamin Netanyahu, Ehud Barak, actually, as well, who is probably managing, who is the defense minister now and is overseeing these operations. Also, he's trying to raise his chances to become prime minister. So, yes, whether you speak about Israeli politics or American politics, the timing is very, very significant. And we have to wait and see. We also do have to remember that this comes in the midst of Israeli-Syrian indirect negotiations with Turkish mediation. Now, we heard comments made by the Turkish Prime Minister, Recep Tayyip Erdogan, who actually condemned this. He did not condemn it in those stern terms, but he did speak against this act. So we don't know how this will affect also the negotiations which are going on with Syria, the indirect Israeli-Syrian negotiations. We have to wait and see how that will go ahead. It seems to me that Israel now is no longer concerned very much with making peace, but actually, as I said, each candidate wants to raise his chances according to how much he can inflict harm on Hamas and on Gaza in general.
Well, you spoke about 20 days to go until President-elect Barack Obama is in office, and 20 days to go until George W. Bush, the current US president, ends his eight-year term. The Middle East peace process on a wider scale there, you mentioned some of those countries, Syria, Turkey, but George Bush spent the last few years of his presidency really pushing for peace between Israel and Palestine and the two-state solution, and what we're seeing today is basically his last push failed.
Yeah, yes, that's correct. His last push did fail. Now, of course, we're going to see how this administration will, how the next administration will comment. Of course, as you do know, Barack Obama has not taken office yet, so we don't know, will he make a statement or not. Something significant is that recently the head of the Palestinian Authority, Mahmoud Abbas, visited Washington, and actually, according to reports, we heard Obama refused to meet with him for the reason that he didn't want to make a statement. So I believe now also he'll probably, Obama, the president-elect, will also not make a statement. Concerning other world leaders, we did hear the European Union Foreign Policy Coordinator Javier Solana and the French President Nicolas Sarkozy both calling for this to stop. Concerning French President Sarkozy, we've heard also reports that Sarkozy is going to be visiting Lebanon on the 6th of January and that he's going to announce a Middle East initiative from Lebanon during that visit. Now, we also have to wait and see what that initiative is going to be about. But we also have to wait and see what the stances of certain Arab countries will be, specifically Egypt, during the Arab League Foreign Ministers meeting, which is going to be held tomorrow, as we heard, the emergency meeting. What's going to be the stance of Egypt concerning this, especially because Egypt has a border crossing, the Rafah border crossing, and Egypt can play a pivotal role in this crisis. We'll have to wait and see that, and we also have to wait and see what the position of Saudi Arabia is going to be. Many people have criticized Saudi Arabia because of its good relations with the United States, because of not taking a stance. We have to see what their position is going to be. An interesting position, which also we might hear from, is a position which was taken by the Syrian President Bashar al-Assad, who, as I just said before, is now in indirect negotiations with Israel, and he said that the negotiations could turn direct if Israel takes certain steps. But we can be sure that in light of these steps which Israel is taking right now, I think that we might hear Bashar al-Assad making a certain announcement, taking a certain step concerning his indirect negotiations. He might, for example, call for these indirect negotiations to stop, maybe. So we have to wait and see the Syrian position. So I think you have three main positions we will wait and see tomorrow during the Arab Foreign Ministers meeting, which is a Syrian, Saudi Arabian and the Egyptian position.
Okay, Ali Risk, our correspondent in Beirut, many thanks. What's coming out of that is that this is a complex situation and that it's multi-layered, multifaceted, regional, international, but the hub of the action today and the consequences of all these different layers is that 195 people have been killed in Gaza today from new and fresh Israeli airstrikes just days after a shaky truce ended. And the latest we're getting in is now that NGOs have added their voices to those heads of states and international condemnation of these attacks. They say that disastrous consequences, they warned of disastrous consequences, and they said that Gaza has already been paralysed by the Israeli blockade and that was a quote from Jeremy Hobbs, the director of British charity Oxfam International, and other NGOs adding their voice of concern to the its situation there. And we've talked today of the political implications of this, and a number of times we have heard the American political scene and its impact on what's going on today. We've had international condemnation from many parts of the world, but America fell short of condemning outright today's actions. We're now joined by Jihan Hafiz, our correspondent in Washington. And Jihan, what's the reaction been in Washington where you are? We know that the US official line is they fell short of that outright condemnation, but what about the people, the media reaction where you are?
Well, I think your question about the media is perfect because our media is not reporting on it at all. If they are, they're doing it very slowly and they're mentioning it that this is an Israeli offensive against the Gaza Strip, and they always mention when they say this that Gaza was taken over, it was a terrorist takeover by the democratically elected government of Hamas. So it would seem quite obvious from our media that they're also pushing for the overthrow of Hamas in Gaza, as the Israeli and U.S. policies have shown in the past couple of days. As you can imagine, our media maligns our political outlook on the situation there. There has been little, if any, condemnation of the almost 200 people who have been killed today. If anything, like you mentioned, there have been NGOs. The U.S. campaign to end the Israeli occupation sent out blast emails this morning condemning the actions, calling on their supporters to go to the State Department today and rally outside the State Department as well as the White House to show their outrage about what our taxpayer funds are funding the weapons that are being used in this incursion.
Well, Jihan, as you're speaking, we're showing live images from Gaza outside a hospital there. We can see two ambulances, sirens, and tens upon tens of people outside the hospital. We don't know if those are injured people trying to get in, if they are the crowds that have gathered outside, and suddenly some darkness to the shots there. We know that electricity is very low in Gaza. It suddenly grew quite dark in those images we're seeing. So definitely here on Press TV, we are reporting on what's happened. There's been a lot of talk about the timing of this attack, Jihan, especially in terms of American politics and the change of administration, that possibly there were that these attacks might not have been possible under President-elect Barack Obama, or they were just trying to get in their last few attempts to attack Gaza before President Bush leaves office. What would you say on that?
Well, I'd say that would seem correct simply because right now in the States, people are very blindsided by the economy. They're also blindsided by the holiday season. Everyone is still with their family. Everyone has not really turned on the television. But if they did turn on the television, they would not see people outside of hospitals. They would not see going out in Gaza. They would not see any our station is showing, because CNN National, which is the main station that I would say over 85% of the country turns to for news, they're not broadcasting this at all. They show very small snippets of it every now and then. And like I mentioned, they say an Israeli offensive, meaning that this is Israel to go in there and do that. And that's how they keep the American people, that's how they keep them in the dark about what's happening. They simply do not report on it. And that's why we're seeing no reaction here in the States, except for the State Department and the White House saying that this is Israel's right to defend itself, despite the fact that they're killing innocent civilians right now. This is well known throughout the international community, who have already condemned this, except for officials in the United States. However, I did speak with an American official who I can't name, unfortunately, but he has condemned this, and he represents one of the districts in Virginia, and quite outspoken about Israel's policies and U.S. policy with the Palestinian people. And he calls this he calls it a shame what the United States is helping Israel do in the time of in the holiday season, when here in the States people are celebrating, they're commemorating what happened in the Holy Land during the birth of Jesus. And so you're really seeing a disconnect with what's happening within the United States. It almost seems that there's a blockade on our media to not put out the information, and that's quite obvious from what we're seeing.
Okay, Jihan, we'll leave it there. I'm sure we'll be talking to you.